We are, if you can remember back 2 weeks ago or so, we were in a series I called Intentional Legacy. And I want to finish that out. And so we'll finish that out here. Intentional Legacy, again, we've been talking about how that we ought to have that legacy and being intentional about it, and that we can impart the truth to the generations behind us. And I hope you're actively doing that. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you know your Bible, I know you do, you know that Paul's writing to a young man by the name of Timothy, and he's encouraging him in the Lord. I love the book of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Those are the pastoral epistles, primarily. And he writes from a heart of a father to his children, to his sons. Okay, not his biological sons, you know that, but to his sons in the faith. Notice, if you will, what he says in verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the what? The grace that is in Christ Jesus." And then he says this, notice, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." What's he say? The same. "The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." I love that. "Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Why? Well, no man that warreth, who's involved in a war, who's actively warring, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Okay, now this morning I want to continue with this thought, and I hope to be a help and a blessing to you. Now, most of you in here, several, I shouldn't say most, but a lot of you in here have already raised children to adulthood. So you know more than I do at this point. You have raised children, you've gone through it, you've jumped through the hoops. Sometimes those hoops have been on fire, but you've jumped through them. You've done all you're supposed to do. And I'm so thankful for your faithfulness, by the way. And let me say this, your grown adult children are watching you and they know you're in church today. At least I hope they do. Let them know that. Let them know. I said a couple weeks ago, if you can recall back, I don't remember what I said 2 weeks ago. I had to look it up, but let them know you're praying for them. Let them know that you are interested in their spiritual life. You know, sometimes kids, us kids, we don't know that you're praying for us. We don't know that you're thinking about us. And vice versa. We got to pass that on to our kids, grandkids, and others. So think about this. Let me make a quote here. Say a quote. It says this, "It is my responsibility to prepare in life for that which is inevitable." It is my responsibility to prepare for that which is inevitable. Now, think about that. The first thing comes to mind is death. We're all going to pass from this earth. We know that. So we must prepare, and that's what we do every week. We actively work to try and reach people with the precious gospel. And the first thing we say, if you do this, I try to do this as often as I can and don't do it as I should. The first thing we say is what? "Sir, ma'am, have you ever thought about where you're going to go when you die?" People don't like to think about that. I asked a young man that one time, and he got offended. He said, "Why would I think about that?" He said, "That's years away. I don't want to, that's depressing." I said, "Sir, son, you might want to start thinking about it." That's the first thing. What are we doing? We're preparing for that which is inevitable. I think about the day, and I hate to think about it, but I think about the day when I have to let some of my children go, right? Now pray for me. I have 5 weddings I got to pay for, Lord. And I'm taking, where's the offering plate? We need to put a designation on that envelope. Brother Tim's wedding preparation. And I'm praying for that. You know, you often, honey, do you want to just elope? Maybe? No, but you don't want to do that. There's something like that that's inevitable that's coming. And I got to prepare for that. I know that day's coming. And some of you, most of you in here have already done that. You've watched your kids walk out the door into this world. There's things like that in life. There's days coming in your life. You know that. Good days and bad days. I was with a couple many years ago, and I was trying to help them. And they said, "We're going through a tough time," and I tried to help them through it. And then later they called us, "Boy, Tim, we're doing so good." And they just had this pie in the sky attitude, and which you all know that. I thought, just hold on. Bad days are coming again. We don't live on that high all the time. We prepare for that which is inevitable. There's going to be some rocky seasons coming, and you prepare for that. Now, what's Paul saying to Timothy? He says, "Timothy, as you're thinking about what you're doing, as you're preparing for this ministry, remember, you must keep in mind the tools and the blessings God's given to you to prepare for that which is inevitable." I want you to notice a few things with me this morning, and I promise not to take too much of your time. Notice this. He says in verse 1 again, thou, therefore, my son. Paul loved this man. You know this was not his biological son, but he, on his missionary journey, came through this area just kind of northwest of Jerusalem up in there, Lystra and Derbe, in the region of Galatia. And on his journey through there, he came into contact with a wonderful family. And they said, and he had no father, you know this, and in chapter 1 he talks about this, but his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, and they said, we have our son and our grandson here, and he loves the Lord, and he's growing in the Word of God, and Paul, would you help him? Would you show him the Word of God? He said, absolutely. And he took Timothy under his wing, if you will, and he started to educate him and help him and encourage him. And he comes to him now, and he says to Timothy, who had no father, his father abandoned the family. He said, I will become your spiritual father. Notice what he says, my son, I want you to know something, that I am here for you spiritually. I want you to know something, that I am here for you if you need me spiritually. And let me just remind you of something this morning, although you know it, that you and I know this very clear. There's coming a day in the life of our children and grandchildren when they will be sitting in their bedroom all alone and contemplating life. We've all been there. And you are saying to yourself, what in the world is going on in my life? Why is everything falling apart? Why is nothing coming together? Why does everything seem to be messed up? Now, notice what he says. Be strong. Be strong in thine own might. Does it say that? Be strong in the what? The grace of God. Let me remind you what the grace of God is. The grace of God, in a very simple definition, there's a much more complicated definition, but I like the simple definition. It is the unmerited favor of God. And you and I know this, that the people behind us, children, grandchildren, nieces and nephews, whoever it is, they will not survive on money, per se. They will not survive on your encouraging words from time to time. They'll survive on the grace of God. They will survive and make it through this life on and in the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. And I want to encourage you this morning, plead and pray for the grace of God upon those children, upon those behind you. Plead for it. Oh God, would you have grace? Would you please have mercy upon those kids and upon my little brothers and sisters or nieces and nephews? Would you please put your hand of grace upon them? Why? Because we're all sinful. And as much as we love those little precious angels, they're sinful. We know that. Many of them are still not of age yet to receive the gospel. They're unsaved. And they go and they walk through this life. And if we do not do anything to what? Interject or stop that, and share with them at some point the gospel, they'll continue on in life, unsaved, unregenerate. He says, be strong in the grace of God. Paul says to Timothy, there's one thing that you need in life, and it's not good looks, and it's not money, and it's not fancy things, and it's not to be successful at work, although those are good things. He says, you need the grace of God. And you and I, let me encourage you with this as well. You need to plead for the grace of God upon your own life. Oh God, be gracious to us. Pour out your unmerited favor upon our marriage. Pour out your unmerited favor upon our finances. Oh, Lord, help us. I try to pray this on a very consistent basis, but I say, Lord, pour out your grace upon this church. Oh, we need it. Without God, without the Holy Spirit in this little building that we have, praise God for it, we're just a social club and a pretty pathetic social club at that. How are you today? Good. How are you today? Good. How was your week? Good. Same thing, right? So often we think about, now, he says the grace of God, and we need the grace of God in our lives. But notice what he says as we continue. Verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of who? Me. Paul never taught anything that he didn't live himself. Oh, that's one of the biggest problems in my life, is Brother Tim gets up here and preaches and teaches and goes to these conferences and these things and teaches and preaches to other people. And do I do it though? And guess who points it out to me when I get home? The little ones, don't they? Daddy, when was it? I think it was 2 days ago. We were riding in the car, and I had my oldest daughter in the front seat. She was riding up front. And she brought up somebody. Did you ever call that one guy back that we talked to? And we ran into somebody a while back. And then she said, did you ever tell him that you were a pastor and a Christian? And I said, well, that's none of your business. That's none of your business. Don't they point that out? Because she was listening to the conversation I had with that guy, and the guy used pretty foul language when he was talking to me. And I didn't really say much. And you know, isn't it fascinating to you and to me how tight-lipped I get about Jesus when I get around those kind of people? Do you get mad at yourself? I can't stand that. And you think about the one person or the people that point those things out are those little ears, those little mouths at home. Oh, think about that. He says, the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He's saying, Timothy, go and teach the other men what I've taught you, and then teach those men to teach other men, and teach those men to teach other men. And it's just a progression. We're here today because your grandfather was faithful to the Lord. You're here today because your mama and daddy, although you may not agree with everything that they do and say, they were faithful to God. Your grandmother, I don't know who it was. You today may be a first generation Christian, and praise God for you. Paul says to Timothy, the things you've watched in me and seen, he says in Philippians 4, he says to the church, the things you've seen in me, you've heard in me, you watched in me, do. And the peace of God will be with you. Isn't that wonderful? One of the biggest hiccups, hang-ups, and stumbling blocks in the local church today is hypocrites in the church. More people are turned away from the church because a pastor preaches one thing and does another when he goes out into the world and into the community. It's the hypocrite. Hypocrites. I can't say it. The hypocrites, right? That's often who we are. We think about this now today. He says, Timothy, you've watched these things in me. Now later in the book of Philippians, I believe it's chapter 3. Don't quote me on that. But he says, this man, Timothy, I have no man who is like-minded, who will naturally care for your state than Timothy. I have no man who has the same mindset, the same convictions, the same heart. What's he saying? One of my kids, Timothy, he has the exact same convictions as I have, and now I'm sending him out. That's the goal we ought to get to. There's an intentional legacy that Paul is trying to push out and promote, but it will not be done with a hypocritical heart and a hypocritical mouth. Notice verse 3. Thou, therefore, endure hardness. Anytime you see the word therefore in your Bible, what's it mean? It's always pointing back. Remember that. Okay? There's another word in the Bible called henceforth. Well, that means forward. Henceforth, I will. From here on out, I will. Therefore means back. What I just said, therefore, endure hardness. Because of the grace of God, because of my love for you, he says, my son, because of the things that I've left you, the example that I've set, non-hypocritical life, therefore endure hardness. Now, I don't need to remind any of us of this today, but life is tough. Life stinks sometimes. I shouldn't use that other word I was going to use. It stinks. I mean, it's tough. And I had one fella come to me and he said, I love life. I've never had really any major problems and everything's peachy keen and fine. And he went on and on and on. And I said, sir, you must be smoking something. You're on something. He was on something, by the way. I knew he was on something because that's a lie. Life is hard. It's difficult. I watched the interview of a drug addict just the other day. And he said, describe to me in one word your life. Guess what he said? Hard. Every day I wake up, it's difficult. Every day I wake up, number one thing on my agenda is how to get high. And I will sacrifice kids, marriage, home, family, mom, dad, anybody to get high. And those of you that have dealt with that before, you know. It's hard. And Paul says to Timothy, I won't mince words. I won't cut it for you easy. I'm going to tell it straight down the line, Timothy. Life and ministry in general will be very difficult. And you must endure hardness. There's a great principle in the Word of God. God usually, not always, but usually has us go through the problem and not around it. Right? They came to the Red Sea and they looked at it. They looked across it. They looked behind them. And here comes Pharaoh's army up on the grassy knoll there. They were between a rock and a hard place, to put it lightly, weren't they? Lord, if there's a route around this, we'd sure like to know it. You ever been there? He says, no, go through it. Go through it. The best route, the best path is to go straight through. You would never experience God's grace and God's power and God's infinite wisdom and omnipotent power in your life if you always went around the problem. Isn't that the problem with America today? Everybody gets to go around the problems. If you don't have what you have, you can get governmental help. If you don't like where you are, just cause a fit. You think about, that's exactly the problem we have today with our society and the generation around us. We have kids running the street today because there's no authority at home. And they go out, and the only authority that they meet resistance with is the local law enforcement. And in that place, they just spit in the face of law enforcement. I mean, 12, 13-year-old kids. We have some in here that were in law enforcement. You know that. Why? It's always go around it. Always get around it. Always find another route. No, friends, Paul says to Timothy, listen, son, there's going to be hardness that you don't go around it. You endure it. You go through it. And you can go through it because I've committed to you that which you should be committed to. And when your kids grow up and my kids grow up and they face the hardness of life, they don't turn around and say, well, I'm glad mom and dad did this for me and did that. No, they need the truth. I don't know what to do, but I know mama taught me to pray. I don't know what to do, but I know daddy always ran to the Bible. I don't know what to do, but I know they were always in church on Sunday. Maybe that's where I should be, right? Oh, we think about it today. He says, I want to leave you a legacy. And I've taught you, Timothy. I've showed you what to do. And he says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, a good soldier, I've left you what you need to be the soldier of Christ, to stand in a wicked world, to fight the good fight. Verse 4, let's continue. No man that warreth, no man that warreth. Anytime you endure, there's always a tendency, notice this word, to entangle. Anytime you endure something, there's always a tendency to get entangled. You endure something, it's very heavy, it's very stressful, it's very straining, and all of us have what's called pressure release valves ingrained in us. And to release the pressure, we sometimes go to that which we've been exposed to or addicted to in the past. Does that make sense? You will be tempted with that which you've been exposed to. And you think about this. We go through, and when we endure, Paul says and warns us, and he says this, when you are warring, Timothy, when you are enduring, be careful not to entangle. I've said it before, but I can't stand cobwebs. And every time I walk outside of my house, I got this one spider. I've tried to kill it, and I can't find it. And it, you know, just right in your face. And you can't, it's in your mouth and everything. And then you try and wipe it, and you can't get it off. Do you hate that? I hate that. And I always think of that when I read that chapter or verse 4. You entangle yourself in the affairs, notice the wording, affairs of this life. The affairs of this life. There are things we have to put up with. We've got to deal with it. But we don't get entangled in it. You've got to work around ungodly, foul-mouthed people. Some of you dear precious saints in here, I pray for you. You've got to endure some of these things. You've got to be around some of this junk. But he says you don't get entangled with it. You don't get entangled with it. But notice the prerequisite. If you are warring, if you're not in the war today, don't worry about what I'm saying. Don't listen to what Paul says. But if you are actively involved in a spiritual warfare today, that means you're standing for Christ, you're refusing sinful things, you're going forward and walking with God, then you are warring today. And he says, when you are warring, I'm talking only to the soldiers today. I'm talking to the legitimate Christians today. Be careful not to get entangled. Now, how do I do that, Brother Tim? Let me remind you, very simple, sounds very cliche, but it is so, so real and so effective. This book right here. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Isn't that true? I quote that, but sometimes I don't even apply it. This book will keep you from sin. This book will keep you where you're supposed to be. This book will keep you aligned. I need not remind you, but I will anyways. This book is called in Scripture a plumb line. You drop that. Anyone ever used a plumb line? You got a weight at the bottom of a string, and you drop it down, and you let gravity do its thing, and you wait. And when gravity has done its thing, that thing is plumb. And then you line up everything against that plumb line. It's first. It's a tape measure. If I tell you to go build something and I give you the dimensions, you have a tape measure that's the same as my tape measure. And praise God, we have a tape measure that's the same as the inspector's tape measure. Amen. See, God's not unfair. Tim, raise your family the best you know how. He doesn't say that, does he? Thank God he doesn't say that. Do your best you can. Do your best. Live your best life now. No. I need something to follow. I need a book to follow. I need some kind of tape measure to follow, Lord, that I know. Now notice what he says. Verse 4, that he may, underline this word, please who? Him. Who's him? Jesus Christ. Who hath chosen him? Oh, there's another him. Who's that him? That's Timothy. Now follow this. Do you know the world today and many deceived and duped Christians, they have the two hymns backwards? They have the hymns backwards. That he may please him, that's me, who hath chosen him. We tell God what to do. Lord, please me. I want my way. And then, Lord, bless my life and take care of my kids and keep us from cancer and don't let my kids get kidnapped. And right? Don't we do that? No. Flip those back around. That he may please him, Christ, who's chosen him to be a soldier. Who or whom are you pleasing today? I've said this many times, and pardon my repetition, but when you please him, what's the rest of it? You will please everyone you're supposed to please. Do you know we try and please people we're not supposed to please? I will please somebody that I want validation from instead of pleasing my wife and kids. You ever done that? You will please a boss or a customer or somebody instead of pleasing the people you're supposed to please or the people you're supposed to take care of. And Paul says to Timothy very, very clearly, without mincing words, Timothy, remember, if you're warring, you don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. Why? That you will please him. And I need to remind you, you will please the Lord when you prioritize the Lord. And when you prioritize the Lord, you will not entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. Oh, I'm so convicted about so often in my life the lackluster and lazy spiritual life that I carry. So often so lazy towards the things of God. Why? Well, there's things that I've been entangled with. I'm concerned about the affairs of this life. Friends, this life's coming to an end real soon. And if you don't believe this book, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. You watch it right now and what's happening on the world stage and everything that's coming. And we're praying for the return of Christ. I hope you are. It's coming very soon. And I'm here to warn you because I have that responsibility. You don't want to be caught outside in the wind. I hope you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. I say it often, but do you know him? Are you sure about that? Really, are you sure? We call it the imminency of Christ, the imminent return of Christ. Meaning, as Jesus warned it, it happens in the blink of an eye. It happens immediately. There's nothing pre to it. Are you ready for that? And Paul tells Timothy, son, make sure you're pleasing the right person. Make sure you have your priorities in line. And wife, when you please Christ, you'll please your husband. Husband, when you please Christ, you'll please your wife. And people, so often I hear it, I can't tell you how many times I hear it. A couple get together and they say, well, he said and she said and he didn't and she didn't. She promised and he promised. And I say, well, hang on. If you personally will please Christ and you personally will please Christ, you'll see inevitably as you both draw closer to Christ towards this one point at the top, what happens? You inevitably grow closer to each other. Isn't that wonderful? Now, that's easy to say, hard to do, but it's so true. Now, let's continue and wrap this up here. He says, Timothy, understand this. There's a legacy that I'm trying to leave you. And I want to warn you, I've given you every tool that you need. I've given you everything and every example to follow. And I've given you the warning, the warning. John later writes this, and I hope to get to it soon. We've been going through 1 John on Wednesday evenings. But John gets to this, and he says this, I have no greater joy than what? To hear my children walking in truth. I have no greater joy. And I know maybe your sister, brother, brother-in-law, or somebody, they get all the attention because they make a lot of money. They get all the attention because they're a doctor, a dentist, or an accountant or something. And here you are, just little old me. No, think about this. I have no greater joy. Hey, they don't have it all together. They don't live in a mansion by any means. They don't have a lot of things, but I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful that my son or daughter, or granddaughter, or niece or nephew, I'm glad I can rest assured they're walking with God. And that brings true joy to my heart. Joy. Joy that we know that I have confidence in that person. They've walked. Now, let me remind you of what Timothy went through. Timothy would later be martyred for the faith. He went to a very difficult place called Ephesus. And in Ephesus, you can read about it in Scripture. Very wicked city. Very sexual, sensual city. And when Timothy came there with the gospel, Paul started there with the church plant, and then he brought Timothy there. It was wicked. And Timothy did his best to preach the gospel. They would later take him out and murder Timothy because of his faith. Timothy stood true. And he said, Paul, I've done what you've told me to do. I've stayed the course. I've kept the faith, Paul would later say. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown. Henceforth. Let's go over to this last portion of Scripture and we'll be done. Chapter 4. Would you go to chapter 4 here? Chapter 4, verse 6. I want you to see this as we close out. Chapter 4, verse 6. For I am now ready. Notice. To be offered. I'm now ready to be offered. You ever thought about that? Paul was a man's man. I mean, he was not scared to die. He said, I'm now ready to be offered as a sacrifice. All the way back, if you do a little research on Paul's ministry, his brief ministry. If you remember all the way back when he got saved on the road to Damascus, that very moment, you remember what the Lord says in particular to Ananias, the one that goes and comforts Paul and says, Paul, okay. He says, I am going to use Paul as what? Basically a sacrifice. He's going to give his life for the gospel's sake. And Paul now says, I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. The time is over. The clock right now is ticking second by second. You'll never get those seconds back. He says, my time is done. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but notice what he says, unto all of them. That's us. I love that, don't you? To all of them that love is appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. He says, Timothy, now you remember Paul's laid up in a prison cell. He says, Timothy, come to me as quickly as you can. I need to see your face. I want to be with you. You're my legacy, Timothy. Verse 10, though, notice, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Timothy, come, do the diligence to get here, because I want to see you. I want to be with you. Oh, how proud I am of you staying so faithful. And then he says, but there's another man that I tried to mentor by the name of Demas. He's forsaken me, having loved this present world. Again, we're not going to win them all. We're not. But there are some people watching us. There's those little eyes that are behind us. They're waiting and watching. And they're saying, Daddy, you're going after money. Daddy, what are you looking forward to? What's your goal? What's your heart's desire? And they see it. And he says, Demas forsaken me, having loved this present world. Well, that's what he talked about in chapter 2, didn't he? Demas got entangled with the affairs of this life, having loved this present world. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Friends, again, don't put your stakes down too deep in this soil. You won't be here long. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. I'm a called out generation, a royal priesthood, zealous of good works. That's who we are. Are you intentional today about your legacy? I must stop there. But as Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, be strong in the grace. He didn't have to describe what grace was because Paul lived that grace for Timothy, didn't he? Son, be strong in the grace. Be faithful to God. I know you've got some wayward children, maybe grown adult children, but listen, when you stay faithful to God and you keep praying for those kids and you stay faithful and keep active for the Lord, they'll come back around. They'll see something different. They'll call one day. Oh, friends, would you keep on keeping on? Why? Let me come back to this and stop. It is my responsibility to prepare for that which is inevitable. It is my responsibility. So many today just float through life treating the inevitable things like they're make-believe, only to come headlong into a brick wall when that thing happens. A Christian is called to prepare. And again, there is a prepared place for the prepared person. John 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's a prepared person. And he says, if you're prepared, if you've prepared in this life to receive the gospel, if you received it and you serve me, I will have a place for you. It's my responsibility. Are you taking full responsibility for that? Preparing for that. He says, oh, I have a place. Timothy, I must go away, but I want you to be faithful. And one day we'll come back together in that sweet by and by with our loved ones. Can you imagine the day they got back together in heaven, Timothy and Paul? And he said, Paul, I was faithful. I did what you told me to do in chapter 2. He says, I know, son, I know. Are you intentional about your legacy? I thank God for all of you today and listening so well. I do appreciate you. I appreciate your faithfulness. I appreciate you staying true. I want to encourage you with this again. Stay in the Word. I try to say it often, but stay in prayer. I know I say it so many times, but that's something that's lacking so much in our lives. Get in the Word. Younger people in here, stay in the Word. Get in the Word. Turn that phone off. Get in the Word. Get in your prayer closet. Write out a prayer list. If you're not good at praying, get a prayer list down. I mean, if you're not good, write anything down. Pray. Get in the habit of praying. Get in the habit of spending daily time with the Lord. Daily time, not weekly, daily. And get with Him. Why? I want to establish something in my home of a legacy that points the kids to Christ. And they see something real. They see it authentic, don't they? I hope they do. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Would you close your Bibles and stand with me, please? And we'll have a few verses of invitation, as we usually do. I'm so thankful we can be in the house of God today. And Father, we thank you for this morning and for already what we've been able to hear through those hymns we've sung. I'm so thankful. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, also as we open the Word today, what a convicting thought to myself. being intentional about a legacy. Paul says, Timothy, I've given you everything that you need. Be strong in that grace. May we plead for that grace. I plead for that grace upon our church, upon our families, upon our marriages. Do the work only you can do, Lord. We thank you. If anyone's here not saved today, they're not sure of that, I'd love to take the Bible and show them.